Wednesday, September 28, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single Wednesday. We talk sports. We bring you a little bit of common sense. We try to actually, you know, make some sense of this crazy sports world. I know if you watch the major media markets, you're going to see some things out there. That didn't even make sense. What are they talking about? That's not really what happens in games. I know it sounds good on TV or on the radio, but that's not how that actually goes. Sometimes some common sense is desperately needed, and we provide that for you each and every Wednesday. If you'd like to recommend the show to someone, there's a number of places they can go download it. They can go over to Audio Boom. Head over to Audio Boom. You can get it there. You can get it at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play, or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Of course, we do put up a new article or two every single week. You are going to want to check that out. This week, in fact, we put up an article, the bottom five. You know, we do our top five list every single week. We put up the bottom five. Who are the worst teams in the NFL? Everyone's picking the best teams. We'll talk about that a little bit today on the show. But who are the worst teams? Who are the five worst teams in the NFL right now? You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. Always some new things happening over at Rogue Intel, and you can find a number of podcasts that you are going to enjoy over at rogueintel.com. Make sure you stop by. Hey, if you've got a question, got a comment, need some advice about any subject, yes, we've given advice on a number of subjects. Given advice on, you know, going to college, to athletic advice, to answering, you know, maybe a question that you might have. I think we've done some relationship advice. You name it. We've done it. You want to hit us up? Shoot us an email at dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook, both of those handles at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, got something a little bit different for you today on the show. Today we are going to be talking about under the radar teams. Yes, yes, under the radar. Is that our sound? Is that our sound for under the radar teams? Okay. Under the radar, I don't think that's radar, but okay. That's our sound for under the radar teams, apparently. You know, we know the favorites. We know who the big dogs are in most all the sports. We know who everyone is picking to maybe go to the Super Bowl or go to the national championship, maybe in Major League Baseball to go to the World Series. But who are the teams that are just a little bit out of sight? Who are the other guys? Who are those other teams that are just out there lurking about that could contend? We're going to take a look at some of those teams in a few different sports. Plus, as we always do, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You always want to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which direction it is going to go. Couple of things coming out. First off, let's talk some NBA. I know it's not basketball season yet. I know it's not there yet, but let's talk just a little bit of NBA. Miami Heat forward Chris Bosh failed another physical, and his career might be over. You know, he keeps getting the blood clots in his legs. Now, here's the thing that you want to kind of think about. The Miami Heat aren't overly upset, because if Bosh has to retire, they save $26 million by voiding his deal. Oh, I know. I know. It's not a business. This is all just, we love each other, and sports teams always make sure to take care of its family. Yeah, unless you got blood clots in your legs and can't play, and then we're going to void your contract and make sure the door doesn't hit you on the way out. How things have changed for the Miami Heat. Remember just a few years ago, it was LeBron and Wade, and maybe we're going to win 7 championships, maybe we're going to win 8 championships, and maybe you're going to win 2 championships and barely even do that. Now LeBron James, gone. Wade, gone. Bosh, probably gone. Fans, gone. Bandwagoners, gone. Can't find a jersey anywhere in Miami. A little bit tough the way things have gone for the Miami Heat. Not going the way that they were hoping. You know, the NBA announced this past week, they're going to emphasize a few new rules in the upcoming season. It's serious. It's very serious. I know here on the Daily Dose, we tend to poke fun at some things, but this is very, very serious. There is going to be an added emphasis on the kind of hits that we saw involving Golden State forward Draymond Green, the kind of hits to the groin that we saw from Draymond Green. They're going to emphasize on that. Shots to the groin, we're going to make sure that we crack down on that. We're not having that. It's a dangerous situation. I'll give you another player that does that a lot. Chris Paul. Chris Paul with the Los Angeles Clippers. Always going with the groin shots. He does it more than people even notice. You got to be a little bit quick to watch him. I don't know. The NBA says it's going to crack down. No more. We've had enough. We saw it too much last year. We've seen it too much in the past few years. We're going to put a stop to it. I mean, it's all kind of nuts to me, but they're going to put a stop to it. They also say they're going to take a look at the way Steph Curry and players like that without the basketball are being held as they try to move without the ball. The Steph Curry rule, if you will. The NBA is going to crack down on that. You can't be holding players as they run through the key. We talked about this back during the NBA Finals. Cleveland Cavaliers hung all over Steph Curry. That's why he was worn out by the end of it. He had guys hanging on him on every single play as he was trying to move without the ball. Going to try to clean that up. And the NBA said they are going to limit traveling. They're going to limit traveling. They're saying that too many NBA coaches are saying we're letting these guys get away with too much. Oh, you think? Do you think so? I've seen LeBron and Dwayne Wade. I'm not exaggerating. You can go to YouTube. You can find the clips. I have seen them literally take 7, 8, and 9 steps and not be called for traveling. And when we watch these games on the national broadcast, we invariably hear the announcer say, hey, this is the NBA. You don't call that stuff. What are you talking about? You should be calling it even more. These are supposed to be the elite guys. These are supposed to be the best of the best. We're not going to enforce the rules at that level. Oh, now down at the middle school level, down at the elementary school level, we're going to enforce those rules. You can't, you know. Oh, here at the NBA, yeah, if you want to travel, if you want to just run around, stick the ball at the back of your shirt and just tear down the court. Do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. You're walking into the realm of wrestling if you're doing that kind of stuff. Or is it, well, it's LeBron James. He can do that. Now, you know, the backup point guard for, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, right? We're going to call it on him, but you're not going to call Dwayne Wade for that. Come on, Dwayne Wade. Yeah, he should be held to a higher standard. We'll see if the NBA does this stuff. I know they say these things. I'll be honest with you. I don't believe a single word that comes out of the NBA front office. Really, really difficult to believe anything they tell me. Of course, the big story this week, the horrible, horrible story out of Miami as 24-year-old pitching ace Jose Fernandez was found dead after his boat hit a jetty of rocks over the weekend. I mean, what an amazing short life that he led, though. Defected from Cuba 4 different times, 3 times unsuccessfully, and then the 4th time finally made it. In fact, one of the times, his mother fell overboard and he had to save her life. Just a sad, sad story. Too bad. Pedro Martinez, the great Boston Red Sox pitcher, says that Fernandez was better than he was at that age. I think sometimes we tend to forget how good Pedro was. Maybe one of the best ever. He says Fernandez was better than he does. And if you saw what happened on Monday night with leadoff hitter D. Gordon with Miami, you know, he hits a home run after he took a pitch as a right-hander in tribute. Then he switched. He's a lefty, and he crushes a shot to right field. He's not a home run hitter. That was emotion. That's all that was. And I'll be honest, in watching that play, it's why we love sports. It's unscripted. It doesn't make sense. D. Gordon is not a home run hitter. Steps up, gets in the batting box, as a right-hander, takes one pitch, and then switches over to the left side, and then knocks one out. That doesn't happen. But that's what we love about sports, isn't it? We don't know. I know the reality TV shows. I know they tell us it's unscripted. We all know it's scripted. This stuff isn't scripted. And you couldn't write it. We see Hollywood screw it up every single time. When it's real, it's even better. The truth is way, 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 way better than fiction. Golf legend Arnold Palmer passed away at 87 this past week. You want to talk about a guy who lived a full life. You want to talk about a guy who did it the right way. Palmer did it the right way. Classy, always just dressed like $1 million, you know, had the heater dangling out of his mouth, had the gun show going. Palmer was the man. I mean, he had his own jet. If you want to look at golfers today and say, how did the game start to change? Look at Arnold Palmer. He was the guy. I mean, started putting advertisements on his bag, started wearing the advertisements on his shirt, started wearing the advertising on his hat, started making some big-time money. Now, when you think of great athletes, think of the greatest athletes in the history, at least in our history, United States, of the world, whatever, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, I mean, someone like a Joe Montana or a John Elway, a Tiger Woods. Does Arnold Palmer belong on that list? Is he that kind of, I mean, what he did changed the game. The way he started making money, the way he started, just the way he carried himself, the way he portrayed himself. But I don't know, does he belong on that list? I mean, he won the Masters 4 times. Pretty solid. He won 7 majors. Again, nothing to sneeze at there. Pretty good. But I mean, he's not Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus won 18 majors. He's not even Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods won 14 majors. Yet walk into a restaurant tomorrow and see if you can order a Muhammad Ali. Or see if you can order a Kobe Bryant or a Tom Brady. Nope. But you can walk in there tomorrow and you can get yourself an Arnold Palmer pretty much anywhere you go. You can go get that at like the Target snack bar. You can get it anywhere. Now, if we had some of those drinks, I'm just kind of wondering, if we did have some of those drinks, what would those drinks be like? Like a Muhammad Ali. What would his drink be? I mean, it would have to be something pretty big. It would have to be something pretty brash. It would have to be like a Manhattan. Like some bourbon, some vermouth, some bitters, maybe a cherry on top, and make no mistake, it will knock you out. It's loud. There's a certain amount of elegance to it, though. I'd say that would be a Muhammad Ali. What about a Tom Brady? What would a Tom Brady be? I feel like a Tom Brady, whatever that drink would be, it would be one of those drinks that, you know, the aficionados would describe it as, it had a taste of oak. It had an oakiness to it. I've never tasted oakiness. It had a smoky flavor. Nah, it kind of tastes like brandy. I don't know about you, but it didn't really taste like oak or wood or barrels or whatever you're trying to tell me. What would Tom Brady's be? I feel like his would maybe be like a martini. Like a martini. Like it's pretty strong. It's pretty good. I mean, is it one of the all-time greats? Sure. Martini? Yeah, yes. But it's kind of served in like a sort of a feminine glass, isn't it? Might be wearing Uggs. Might be on a nude beach. That might be kind of where you'd see that, yeah. Martini, I'd say that would be kind of a Tom Brady. And a Kobe Bryant, I don't know what a Kobe Bryant would be. If you walked into the bar and said you'd like a Kobe Bryant, I don't know what that would be. I feel like it would probably be like a Jolly Rancher shot. Like it's pretty good. It's you know, it's not all bad. It's pretty good. It's not the best, but it's very, very good. But it does take a lot of shots to finish your night. Like you need like 50, 60 shots to really get where you're going, don't you? And be careful about that Kobe Bryant that you're ordering. It might have some Rufinol in it. We're not sure. Let's talk just a little Major League Baseball. Yes. You are hearing it right here on the Daily Dose. We are talking some Major League Baseball, and we are going to talk some under-the-radar teams. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. First off, let's talk about this. Who are the favorites as we head into the postseason? Who are the big dogs? Of course, it's got to be the Chicago Cubs. Major League Baseball's best record clinched the NL Central for the first time since 2008. The Cubbies are loaded. Definitely the best lineup in the NL. Probably the best lineup in all of baseball. They don't have any real holes. Cubs are definitely the big favorite over on the national side. American side, I know you might be thinking Texas. I got to go with the Boston Red Sox. They're just playing so well down the stretch. They're not just beating teams. They're pummeling teams. They're sweeping teams. And even though Texas might finish with the top seed, Boston sitting at the number two? Not all bad. Like that's a pretty good spot for Boston to be sitting there at a number two. I think they'd be pretty comfortable right there. So those are your big dog favorites as we head into the Major League Baseball postseason. A couple teams, though, that are a little bit under the radar. Really? Gonna keep playing that every time, huh? Okay. All right. Under the radar teams. Few teams that I just want you to think about a little bit. The Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I know. I think they're going to get a wild card spot. We're kind of waiting. We're kind of seeing if Toronto is going to make their way into the wild card spot. Their lineup has been inconsistent, but it's been warming up just a little bit lately. Here's the thing about Toronto. They have so many bats. If they get into the playoffs and they are playing well, they can beat anyone. They can absolutely beat anyone. Keep an eye on the Toronto Blue Jays. I'll give you another team. St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know if the St. Louis Cardinals can get in. But if they do make it into the postseason, they're going to be a tough out. They've got experience. You know, the thing about St. Louis, so many teams that say, well, it's a five-game series, it's a seven-game series. They don't mind going on the road. In fact, they play better on the road than they do at home half the time. Pitching is very, very good. The biggest question for St. Louis, we've seen it in the past just a couple years, can they just generate enough offense to knock some people off? If so, yeah, the St. Louis Cardinals are a little bit under the radar. They're going to be a team that can maybe slip through and knock some people off. And they would be a team that if I am the Chicago Cubs, I am hoping they do not make the postseason. Keep an eye on them. One last team that might be just a little bit under the radar. You don't have to play it every time. Played it once when we first started. You don't have to play it every time. One more team that is under the radar. I can't believe I'm going to say this. And when I say it, you're going to wait, what? I'm telling you right now. Keep an eye on them. The Los Angeles Dodgers. I know the Dodgers have not been known for their toughness. I don't know. Going back to the 80s. I don't know how long it's been. We don't really know the Dodgers for their toughness. They kind of seem like that team that if things start going wrong, everything goes wrong and they just crash and burn. But that has actually started to change. We are starting to see the Los Angeles Dodgers grinding and finding ways to win. Who saw it coming? Certainly not me. But they are in the postseason and they might be a tougher out than people think in the Major League Baseball postseason. Oh, and by the way, just for the record, if you're just gauging your rooting interest, obviously, my horrifying, stupidest franchise in baseball, Colorado Rockies, will not be in the postseason. I'll be rooting for the Chicago Cubs, and I will be rooting for the Cleveland Indians. I'll make no mistake about that. I will stand up, and I will tell you honestly, I am rooting for the Cubs versus the Indians, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I'm rooting for those two teams. Because someone is going to lose their mind and be absolutely ecstatic. We're either going to have the Cubs or the Indians win a World Series if those two teams get there. And someone is going to be absolutely crushed because it's just another season that they didn't get it done. That's what I'm rooting for. We'll see how it all goes. It's all coming down in just the next week or so. We're getting to the postseason very, very quickly. Hey, got a lot of college football to talk. Which teams in college football could be just a little bit in our peripheral vision? What about the NFL? Are there any teams over there that we're not looking at that could be sneaking in? Any of those teams that could be a little bit under the radar? Okay. Well, I guess we're just going to keep playing that every single time I say the words under the radar. Really? All right. Well, stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys. It's TJ. I know you're enjoying the wonderful content the Rogue Intel Podcast Network provides you. We really couldn't do this without the support of you, our wonderful listeners. One of the best ways you can say thank you also happens to be one of the easiest ways. Just go to rogueintel.com/Amazon and do your Amazon shopping as you normally would. It won't cost you anything, and you'll be supporting your favorite podcast network. That's rogueintel.com/Amazon.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of me, and very much reflect the hidden recalcitrant inside each and every one of you. There will be topics in bad taste, and many you won't agree with. So, keep a leash on your inner SJW and jump on in with an open mind as we explore the controversial. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, or SpokenUnspoken.com.
Hi guys, it's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Some big news in college football this week. LSU fired head coach Les Miles after their loss to Auburn on Saturday. That was an insane finish to that game, by the way. I was watching that game. LSU has a chance to win it at the end. They give them a play. They set the ball. Clock runs out before they snap it. They throw a touchdown. Everyone thinks they've won the game. Then they go back and review. Actually, you didn't get the ball. Snapped in time. It was that close to Les Miles not getting fired? Was it that close to Gus Malzahn, Auburn head coach, getting fired instead? that really felt like it was the buyout bowl. Like, whoever lost that game between Auburn and LSU, your contract's going to get bought out, and you're going to get sent packing. Now, here's the thing about Les Miles. He was 114-34 at LSU. They had to fire him now. I heard a number of people say, why would you fire him now? Why not wait until after the season? It's not like you can go hire someone now. You're going to have to wait. And I have to think that if LSU is firing him now, they have someone in mind. But they had to fire him now. Because here's the problem. He's Les Miles. And for whatever reason, it seems like every season we see LSU stumble, maybe have a bad loss, some bad clock management, just kind of some weird plays. He's going for it on fourth down when he shouldn't, cost him a game, they end up losing. But then, by the end of the season, he bounces back, and he wins a couple of games, and he knocks a few teams off. And maybe it's against softer competition. It might not be against Alabama, but he knocks a few teams off, and right at the end, they're like, well, I don't know. He's won six in a row. I guess we got to keep him again. He wins it, won the bowl game. I guess we keep him again. I don't know. So they had to fire him now, or they're running a risk that he might win a big game. And then, well, you can't really fire him now. Looks kind of idiotic. But here is the one word of caution I have. And like I said, I understand. Watching a Les Miles team is frustration. They are one of the only teams, them and Bowling Green, only teams in all of college football that do not have a fourth quarter touchdown this season. Really? All the talent you get at LSU, you can't put one up in the last 15 minutes? A little bit odd. And when you think of all the talent, obviously, that has come through LSU, a little bit odd that Les Miles hasn't maybe won a little bit more. But here's the thing. Here's the one word of caution that I have, and I've said this for other schools, I've said this for other programs. Be careful, because right now, LSU is always at least in the thick of things. They're always, you know, ranked in the top 10. They're always pretty solid. They're always at least in the hunt for an SEC championship. And if you win an SEC championship, then in turn, you are in the hunt for a national championship. But see, here's the thing about LSU. Because yes, they have a ton of resources. Yes, they have, you know, facilities, and they've got people, and they've got a great recruiting base down there. But see, I remember the Gary DiNardo days, the Curly Hallman days. You're not just guaranteed to roll a team out into Death Valley and be successful. You've gone through some lean times before. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. It's going to be very interesting to see who LSU has targeted. I mean, do they go get Lane Kiffin? I mean, is that the guy they were after? That would be interesting. Bring him back with Ed Orgeron. Team them back up. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but that's me. That's me. Do you just go take a blank check to Louisville and get Bobby Petrino? Bobby Petrino is a very good football coach. LSU's got some decisions to make, and it is going to be interesting to keep an eye on them. Now, as we start looking at college football, I want to take a look at some of the teams that are maybe just a little bit outside the favorites. Of course, we have the favorites. We know who the big dogs are, for the most part, in college football this year. Obviously, Alabama. Alabama looks like the best in the country. And they do it every single year. And every single year, we think that the formula is going to change a little bit. It doesn't. They're really, really good up front. Offensively, defensively, they're really good up front. They can completely dominate a game with their defensive front seven. They just chew up your run game. They come after your quarterback. You can't even get a pass off. Alabama looks like the big dog. They're definitely one of the favorites. You know, another favorite, I don't know if we saw coming. We talked a little bit about them in our college football preview. But the Louisville Cardinals, they're definitely up there. They have ridiculous speed on both sides of the ball. They are all over the field. Louisville made a really athletic Florida State team look slow. Like, to make Florida State look like they have their feet in mud all day, Louisville's pretty quick. The schedule, though, is pretty light for Louisville. They've got Clemson on Saturday. That'll be a huge test for them. Then they don't play anyone else until Houston in like mid-November. So the schedule's pretty slight. They've got to see if they can get by Clemson. That same Clemson team is right up there. They're definitely one of the favorites. You know, we keep waiting and waiting and waiting for quarterback Deshaun Watson and the rest of that Clemson offense to get going. They beat Georgia Tech. And honestly, didn't look all that impressive doing it. I think they won 26-7. That Georgia Tech's not great. So I don't know. I keep waiting for Clemson to start looking like Clemson. And I feel a lot like, remember that final year that Jameis Winston was at Florida State? And I think they were ranked number one like all season. And we kept saying, well, yeah, they don't look very good, but we know that what they can do. And then, well, yeah, they didn't look very good again this week, but we know they're capable. Well, yeah, and then they ended up getting like thumped in the bowl game by Oregon or something in that playoff game. Yeah, I guess they weren't that good to begin with. I feel like that's kind of how we're looking at Clemson this year. Well, I think they're good. Well, we're looking at the guys on the field, and on paper, they look really good. Yeah, but for some reason, they're not putting it together. Like, how many chances do you get to where you start looking like you're firing on all cylinders? And we haven't seen that from Clemson yet. Maybe, I'll just throw this out there. Maybe Clemson is saving it for Louisville this weekend. Or maybe they were unrealistic expectations to begin with, and we've kind of overrated Clemson just a little bit. Remember, that defense is not great. They lost a lot of people. They just haven't played any good offenses lately. They will before the season's over. Clemson will have to face them, and they'll face someone on Saturday. Keep an eye on Clemson. They're definitely one of the favorites. Ohio State, of course, Ohio State. Ohio State seems like they're in every year since Urban Meyer went there. You know, Ohio State is allowing just 12 points a game. They've got Wisconsin on October 15th in a couple of weeks. But the job that Urban Meyer has done at Ohio State, they're just in it every single year. And same thing. He just has guys. Urban Meyer recruits players that can play at an extremely high level for 5 or 6 seconds every single snap. And if they can do that, they're going to be pretty good. Ohio State, this was supposed to be a down year. They lost so much talent to the NFL. Oh, they'll take a step back. Maybe they'll get beat by Michigan. Maybe they'll drop back and get beat by someone else. But Ohio State's not going to be good again this year. Yes, they are. Ohio State's going to be right in the thick of it. Michigan, team we just talked about. Hey, the job that Jim Harbaugh has done, solid defense. And we know that Jim Harbaugh develops his line of scrimmage. His offensive line, his defensive line. Think of the teams that he had at Stanford. They were punishing up front. Jim Harbaugh, he knows how to win some games. My only concern for Michigan is they might be just a little bit young. Still have some very, very talented players, but very young players over there. So who are the teams? Because there's the favorites. Now, one thing about the favorites, one thing, about, especially at the college football level, these are 18, 19-year-old kids. They will read their press clippings. They will be immature enough to not show up maybe one Saturday and get knocked off. So I wouldn't be surprised to see any of these teams, any of those favorites we just talked about, I wouldn't be surprised one bit to see one of them get knocked off. In fact, I expect it for most of them. Maybe one skates through unbeaten, but I fully expect a lot of these guys to get knocked off. That's college kids. They get up for the big game, and then maybe they don't get up for the next game, and that's the most dangerous one of all. Because that's the team that comes in, puts a bullseye on you, and finds a way to knock you off. Let's look at a couple of college football teams this year that might be just a little underneath the public's radar. I guess we're going to play that again. Okay, we were just discussing the Big Ten a little bit. I'll give you a team that is just off the radar. What about the Wisconsin Badgers? You know, we all started to really like Michigan State when they pounded Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. Remember they just beat up on Notre Dame? And then Notre Dame closed it up a little bit at the end, but we all knew it was like 30-7 when it really mattered. And so we kind of started looking at Michigan State. Hey, Michigan State might not be bad. And then Wisconsin whooped them in East Lansing. And it turns out that Notre Dame actually just isn't very good. And Wisconsin might be. Wisconsin has already beaten LSU and now Michigan State. It's a physical team. They play good defense. They're very physical up front. Could Wisconsin be one of those teams that maybe sneaks into playoff contention? Keep an eye on the Badgers. You always got to wonder if they're going to have that one weird week when they just don't play that well, get knocked off. Wisconsin Badgers could be right there, doing a really, really good job under Paul Chryst. I'll give you another team, and it's another Big Ten team. I know, I don't want to stick in the Big Ten all day, but I'll give you one other team. Yes, last week's most overrated college football program, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But here's the thing about Nebraska. The coaching staff is starting to figure out a little bit how to use quarterback Tommy Armstrong. And he's pretty good if you use him the right way. And here's the most important thing for Nebraska. The players seem like they're kind of starting to buy into Mike Riley's system. If you can get your players to buy into what you're teaching and say, hey, we absolutely believe in what you're teaching us. We are 100% committed to what you are teaching us. That's a dangerous, dangerous team. and it's kind of starting to look like Nebraska might be heading that direction. I don't know if they're talented enough, but Nebraska is starting to look like a team that has come together with one goal, and they're starting to look like a team that is kind of starting to get what Mike Riley has been preaching up there. Keep an eye on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They could be a dangerous team down the stretch. How about a team in the SEC? How about a team in the SEC? No, I'm not talking about Alabama. And no, I'm not even talking about Tennessee. I would say Tennessee, of course, beat Florida for the first time since, I don't know, T. Martin. It's been a while since the Tennessee Volunteers actually knocked off Florida. They did it this past week in large fashion. But I'm not talking about Tennessee Volunteers. And I'm not talking about LSU or Auburn or any of the, you know, kind of the big name SEC teams. No, I'm talking about Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a dangerous, dangerous team that might be just outside of where the favorites are. No, this isn't your Johnny Manziel or your Kenny the Thrill Hill Texas A&M team. That's not what we're talking about. Remember those teams? Hey, we're going to score 55 points because, let's be honest, our defense is going to allow 52 points, so we've kind of got to do that just to keep up. Not that this team can't score. They can put up points. They can put up a good chunk of points. But it's their defense that makes Texas A&M a team that you might want to keep an eye on. Keep watching Texas A&M. They're a dangerous team. They're allowing 16 points a game defensively. A&M's a dangerous team. See how they can do as it comes down the stretch in the SEC. We know that it's going to start getting tighter, and we know you're going to start playing some big dog teams. Their schedule, don't forget, they've already beaten UCLA, and they've already beaten Auburn. They've already beaten Arkansas. They've got Tennessee and Alabama in back-to-back weeks. That's going to be the huge part of the schedule for Texas A&M. Can they get by those two teams? But if they do, Texas A&M could find their way into a college football playoff picture. I'll give you a team that could be coming out of the Pac-12. Who's going to win the Pac-12 this year? Number of talented teams out there. Who's going to win the Pac-12? Stanford? Yeah, Stanford's going to be right there, obviously. They're always right in it. Washington. Washington's a very, very good team. We talked about them a little bit in the college football preview. They're going to be right there. I don't know. Oregon? No. No. UCLA? No. USC? No. Arizona State? I don't know. Who else could come out of the Pac-12? It might be Utah, again, because all head coach Kyle Whittingham does is win. The Utah Utes can score points. They are tough. And you know the thing about Utah, they've got a schedule that if you look at it, you say, oh man, they're gonna have a four-game road trip? Four straight games on the road? There's no way they're going to be able to get through that. Yeah, but take a look a little bit closer at that schedule. At Cal, that's winnable. At Arizona, that's winnable. At Oregon State, well, that's kind of a joke because Oregon State's not very good. And then at UCLA, best team they have left on their schedule is Washington, but it's at home. The Utah Utes could possibly play their way into a playoff position. Keep an eye on Utah. I'll give you one other team. I know. I'm going to bring the Big 12 just slightly out of the dirt. I told you last week, a couple weeks ago, I thought the Big 12, you could just bury the Big 12. And I'm still not completely sold on the Big 12. I think they're probably still in the dirt. But we've got a zombie kind of trying to stick their hand up out of the dirt. Yes, Oklahoma State, and Texas, probably done. They're probably done. And no, I'm not talking about Baylor. Stop scheduling DeVry Institute and like the Pima Veterinary School. You don't get any credit for beating those schools whatsoever, Baylor. Your non-conference is embarrassing. So no, I'm not talking about Baylor. I don't care, honestly. I don't care if Baylor goes undefeated. They don't get even a mention to go to the playoff. I don't even want to talk about them. They refuse to schedule anyone out of conference. I don't want to talk about Baylor. No, I'm talking about those hillbilly, couch-burning Mountaineers from West Virginia. No, they don't play much defense, but come on. It's the Big 12, and West Virginia can put up some big points. You know, they've beaten Missouri. They've beaten BYU. If they beat TCU on October 22nd, going to start taking a look a little closer at West Virginia. And they don't have a viciously tough schedule. They're going to still have to play some of those teams we just talked about, the Oklahoma States, Texas, you know, some of those schools. But they don't have a really, really vicious schedule. West Virginia could maybe kind of sneak in and be just, you know, right at the edge there. Could they play themselves into a playoff situation? We'll see. Keep an eye on West Virginia. They might be the team to talk about out of the Big 12. I'm going to give you one more team might be just a little bit off your radar. Going to give you one more team just a little bit, you know, under the radar. Okay, I know I give them a hard time. I know I've talked badly about them. But hey, Colorado beat Oregon on the road, and they gave Michigan a game for like, I don't know, a half or three quarters or something. Colorado can play with anyone.
That ain't true.
Well, they can sneak up into contention for the Pac-12, maybe?
That ain't true.
Okay, fine, Mike Gundy. I guess not, but yeah, no, you're right. Colorado doesn't belong in the conversation at all. We'll go ahead and skip them. Okay, hey, let's take a quick look at some of the matchups that are coming up Friday night. Don't wait until Saturday and say you didn't know. On Friday night, number 7, Stanford goes to number 10, Washington. We were just talking about the Pac-12. Who could come out of there? One of these teams is taking a loss. Stanford goes to Washington on Friday night. Make sure that you tune in for that one. Should be very, very good. Number 22, Texas goes to Oklahoma State. I know Oklahoma State keeps finding ways to lose. The problem, we talked about teams that maybe you could put some dirt on. The Oklahoma States, the Oklahomas, the Florida States. Some of those teams that took an early loss and maybe a big loss. I'll tell you what that does for them, though. It makes them extremely dangerous coming down the stretch because they can completely spoil a season for you. And that could be the case here. Texas, they're sitting at number 22, trying to get back into contention, trying to move back and get back on top. Hey, Oklahoma State can score some points. They can put up some points. And Oklahoma State could make Texas look bad. Don't sleep on them. Number 14, Miami, playing at Georgia Tech. You know, Miami's one of those teams that's just a little bit off the radar, I guess. Yeah. Miami, one of those teams that, you know, Mark Richt, we know the job he does. We know he can coach. We know he can recruit. Now, he's not playing with his players, but he's getting the most out of a Miami squad that was not untalented. He's getting something out of them. Could Georgia Tech give them anything? I doubt it. My biggest problem with Miami right now, and I kind of like them, my biggest problem with Miami is that schedule is just so soft, and it's just the way the conference is. It's just how it's set. It's not really that they went, well, they didn't schedule, you know, obviously in huge beef on the schedule, but just the way the schedule kind of lines up in the conference. Miami just does, they have like one ranked team on their entire schedule. So not a great schedule for Miami, but keep an eye on Miami. They're right at the periphery there too. Tennessee, number 11 Tennessee, after they get their big win against Florida, they go to number 25 Georgia. And we know that rivalry, it's always kind of a flip of the coin. Georgia not playing well at all. I would think Tennessee could go in between the hedges and whoop the dogs pretty easily. But Tennessee at Georgia might be interesting. North Carolina at Florida State. Florida State looks like they bounced back after their big loss to Louisville. North Carolina's at least kind of talented, I guess. Might be an interesting game. Number 8, Wisconsin at number 4, Michigan. Oh, now we got one. That's a big, big game. You know, the great thing about college football? No, they don't. They have like the worst postseason ever. It's getting better. The playoff at least made it a little better. But every week, I mean, that's basically a playoff game. Wisconsin, Michigan, at the Big House, that's basically a playoff game. One of those teams is going to take a loss. Pretty interesting game there. And then the big game of the week has got to be number 3, Louisville, at number 5, Clemson. Again, talking about a playoff game, because whoever wins this game is already going to win that side of the ACC. I mean, it's not even October yet, and someone's already going to have their side of the bracket in the ACC locked up. Louisville at Clemson, that game, of course, Saturday night, primetime game, you know, Death Valley in Clemson. They're going to be touching Howard's Rock. That should be a really, really fun game to keep an eye on. College football this weekend, from now on, really. We've got just conference games. We've got big matchups. College football is going to be great pretty much from here on out. Okay, let's jump over to the NFL and talk a little bit about some teams over in the NFL that might be a little under the radar. Well, I'm going to be honest. We don't really have under the radar teams in the NFL because, quite honestly, it's all completely overanalyzed. We overanalyze everything in the NFL. Every single team we've looked at in the NFL, I mean, there's only 32 of them. It's not like college football. Every single team in the NFL we look at, I don't know. Could they be good? No, I don't think they're good. What about this team? No, they're terrible. What about this? Oh, yeah, I like them. Every single team in the NFL, we completely analyze and overanalyze and reanalyze it. There's no teams left unheard of. But I'm going to give you a few teams that, again, might be a little bit hidden from you. Might not be paying that much attention to, or you might not believe in quite yet. First off, let's take a look at the favorites in the NFL. I'll be honest. Favorite for me right now might be the New England Patriots. I mean, these guys keep winning with backup quarterbacks. I honestly believe, give Bill Belichick any quarterback, and he can win with them. I don't know if he's the greatest head coach ever. He's in the conversation. The things that he's done, his ability to game plan, his ability to find matchups that are favorable to him. I mean, remember the season? He didn't really have any wide receivers. He didn't really have any running backs, so he just used his tight ends as wide receivers. He used his tight ends as running backs. I mean, he's taken wide receivers and played them at defensive back. He's got a wide receiver right now that could be playing at quarterback. Bill Belichick can take a backup quarterback, make him a winner. I don't know. When Tom Brady gets back, that's a pretty dangerous team. Here is my one word of caution for New England Patriots. The one concern that I would have if I were them, why do your quarterbacks keep getting hurt? Because now Tom Brady's out with the suspension, whatever. But we saw him get knocked around quite a bit last year. And then they bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, and we saw him get his shoulder crushed for him. And then they bring in Jacoby Brissett, and we saw him get a thumb injury. Why do your quarterbacks keep getting hurt? I would be a little bit concerned about the ability to protect my quarterback if I was a New England Patriots fan. And I'm sure Bill Belichick is trying to figure out, why do our quarterbacks keep getting beat up? How can we protect these guys? Because it's all fun in games when it's Jacoby Brissett back there getting launched on. When guys are just pinning back their ears and trying to clock them. But when it's Tom Brady back there, starting to get a little bit more concerned. I don't really need Tom Brady to get his spleen ruptured for him. So that would concern me just a little. But I do believe the New England Patriots are a dangerous, dangerous team. And no, I don't buy into the... And Tom Brady's going to come back with a really bad attitude. Really? Yeah, I don't buy that. Like, it's cute for a minute. He comes back and he wants to prove everyone wrong and prove how great he is. I fully expect Tom Brady to come back and have a phenomenal season. I really do. Because he's Tom Brady. He should come back and have a phenomenal season. Not because he's come back and he's going to prove everyone wrong. Remember last year? Remember they were talking about maybe he would be suspended for games and then that all got dropped and we went through the court case. And they were saying how last year, how Tom Brady was going to just come back and just get his revenge on everyone. And he was having some pretty good revenge, and then, you know, they got beat by the Dolphins down the stretch. And I guess he wasn't as angry that day. And then, of course, they got beat by the Broncos in the playoffs. He wasn't as angry that day. That day that he got sacked like 57 times, it didn't seem like he had that much revenge on his mind that day. But other than that, he was really, really revengeful. I don't buy that stuff. Team's got to go out and execute. That's the biggest key. And Tom Brady is usually very, very good at execution. All the other stuff, if he's going to come back with just a spiteful attitude and show this league what's what, that's all nonsense. I don't buy any of that. Another team that I think is one of our favorites, the Denver Broncos. There is a chance, and I'm not sure. There are a couple of things that I've seen. Obviously, I write quite a bit about the Denver Broncos, but could the Denver Broncos be better than last year? There's a chance. I mean, Trevor Siemian physically looks better than Peyton Manning. Of course, right now, Trevor Siemian looks a lot better than Brock Osweiler, but that's, you know, a different situation. But Trevor Siemian so far in his 3-game career has beaten Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, and Andy Dalton. That's not bad. Now, I think one of the biggest changes, and I know Trevor Siemian is obviously getting a lot of media attention. One of the biggest changes, I think, for the Denver Broncos, it's kind of gone under the radar. Mm-hmm. Yep, just going to keep playing that. One of the biggest changes for the Denver Broncos is the fact that they completely rebuilt that offensive line. I mean, Luis Vasquez, gone. Evan Mathis, gone. Matt Paradis, the center, was given a contract extension. They brought in Donald Stevenson. They brought in Russell Okung. They brought a couple guys up that hadn't been starting that are now starters. They completely revamped that offensive line. That might be one of the bigger differences that no one's really talking about. Yes, Trevor Siemian's back there. And so far, I'll be honest, Trevor Siemian looks like he's been a perfect fit for Gary Kubiak's offense. But one of the biggest differences that has helped him is the fact that the offensive line, it does look like they're a little bit better. A little bit better at run blocking, a little bit better at protection. Last year at this time, I believe Peyton Manning had already been sacked like 37 times. So far, Trevor Siemian has been sacked 5 times. Now, on the same token, he is able with his legs to sometimes evade some of that pass rush that, let's be honest, Peyton Manning would have been self-sacking on. But the Denver Broncos still look very, very solid. Couple of little things I've seen in their defense that I don't like. Allowing too many rushing yards, allowing too many third down conversions. We'll see, but the Denver Broncos, defending Super Bowl champions, definitely in the mix. What about the Green Bay Packers? I know, they lost when they went up to Minnesota. Got handled, really. But Aaron Rodgers is still the most dangerous quarterback in the NFL. He can do so many things. He's so gifted physically. He can make every throw. You're never out of a game as long as you have Aaron Rodgers. They've got some weapons around him. Jordy Nelson seems like it's kind of taken him a little bit of time to get on track. And I still, Randall Cobb is okay. I'm still not thrilled with the wide receivers that they have up there with Aaron Rodgers. But the Green Bay Packers, definitely one of the favorites, like the way they're playing. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Yes, I know. They got beat like they stole something by Philadelphia. But the Steelers are still very, very dangerous. When you have Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, and don't forget, they get Le'Veon Bell back, I believe it's this week. The Pittsburgh Steelers are very, very dangerous. They are still one of the favorites. I know it might not sound that way when you saw what Philadelphia did to them, but the Pittsburgh Steelers are still right there because when they are playing well, they are as dangerous as anyone, and they can put up so many points. Defensively, sometimes it's kind of hit or miss, but Pittsburgh Steelers can definitely hurt you a number of different ways. I still consider them to be one of the contenders. Another team that I would consider to still be one of the favorites, got to be the Carolina Panthers. I know, yes. They got a $3 haircut on Sunday, courtesy of the Minnesota Vikings, and yes, they looked really, really bad in doing so, but that's still a very, very talented defense. That's still a team that is still kind of trying to learn how to play together. They got back Benjamin, and I know that's a little bit different for Cam Newton. Cam Newton got knocked around a few more times than they probably wanted him to. He's taken a few hits already this season. But I still think over on the NFC side, Carolina Panthers probably going to still be in the middle of it. And I'll give you the last team that I consider to be one of the favorites. Still probably going to be the Seattle Seahawks. That offensive line is a problem, though. I'm really starting to get worried. You know, my Super Bowl pick at the beginning of the season was Seattle and New England. And that offensive line is starting to make me want to kind of reconsider that whole Seattle pick. They better shore that up really, really quick. We saw Russell Wilson in week one get knocked around, get the ankle hurt. Now this past week, we saw him get knocked around again and, you know, bend his leg the wrong way, and now he's got a knee injury. I really like Russell Wilson. He will attack those injuries like he does anything else. He comes after it. So if they tell him 4 weeks, it's probably 2 weeks. And if they told him it's going to take him 5 weeks, he's going to be 3 weeks because he's just that guy. But at the same time, and I get he's a tough guy, he's a smart kid. He avoids a lot of hits. Russell Wilson is getting beat up. They've got to figure out a way to get that offensive line to protect Russell Wilson. Because if you lose him, I've got news for you. Seattle Seahawks are going to go away very, very quickly. That is no longer a team because they've got the great defense. They're not going to have much offense without Russell Wilson. He does so many things for them. They cannot afford to lose Russell Wilson. Better find a way to protect him. But for now, I'll still put Seattle as one of those favorites. Now, I told you, it's really, really hard to have an under-the-radar team in the NFL. But here are a couple of teams that are just a little bit under the radar. We don't have to play that every time. First off, it's not even a radar sound. You don't have to play it. But that's like a sonar sound. It doesn't even make sense. You don't have to say it every time I say the words under the radar. Honestly, the help I get here at the Daily Dose, I don't even know. Sometimes it's crazy. I know. You know, this is episode, 96, I think? Episode 96, and this is the kind of stuff that I'm dealing with? Honestly, it's painful. It's painful. It really is. Okay, here's a couple of teams might be a little bit behind those favorites. Might be a little bit outside of being a favorite. Might be a team that we haven't talked about really much at all. First team. Is there a quieter undefeated team than the Baltimore Ravens? If there is, I don't know who it is. But the Ravens are running the football, and they are playing some pretty physical defense. I'll be honest, Baltimore Ravens aren't very pretty. I watched a little bit of their game this past week. they run the football and they play defense and it isn't very pretty and they're probably going to win some close games. Now, here is my one concern about Baltimore. I do have a little bit of a concern. The combined record of the teams that they have beaten is 1-8. 1-8. Now, big game on Sunday as they faced the Oakland Raiders. Seeing Oakland go to Baltimore, that's a pretty big game because I think Oakland is right at the edge of maybe being a playoff team. What is Baltimore? We're not really sure. They haven't really been tested against too much. We haven't really seen their defense get a real huge test yet. But Baltimore, 3-0, and like I said, just kind of a hard-nosed, gritty kind of team that they've got going there. And nobody's talking about Baltimore. But Baltimore could be one of those teams, sneaks their way into the playoffs. Maybe they get hot. Maybe they're playing with some confidence. Keep an eye on the Baltimore Ravens. Okay. I'm apologizing to Big Rob. I'm telling you right now, another team kind of starting to get my attention. And they're getting everybody's attention. They can't be off the radar because everyone's starting to look at them now. But who saw the Philadelphia Eagles coming? And no, don't say you did because I don't believe it. Maybe if you're just a hardcore Eagles fan. Maybe. But here's the thing. You know, rookie quarterback Carson Wentz, he's getting all of the attention, and he has been good. The thing that I like about Carson Wentz, and I told you after the first week, he throws the ball down the field. It's not just constant check down after check down after check down. He's not afraid to attack down the field. And he seems, at least early, like he kind of has a pretty good grasp of the offense. And it seems like he has a pretty good grasp of what the offense is trying to do, and they've done a phenomenal job with him getting him ready. They've done a great job. You know, he's directing traffic. He's being a leader. The one concern that I do have for Carson Wentz, he needs to learn how to get down. You better learn how to slide. Better learn how to throw it away. Taking too many hits. That won't last for all that much longer. And I know, like I said, I really like what they've done so far. I said, I want to see what they do against Pittsburgh. And against Pittsburgh, they looked far and away their best. But the one thing that I do still want to see is I want to still see him go against a very good defense. We haven't seen Carson Wentz face a good defense yet. I want to see that. The key, as much as we want to talk about Carson Wentz, and as much as we want to talk about the success of this young stud quarterback, honestly, the key for Philly isn't as much Wentz as it is that defense. Jim Schwartz, remember when he was at Detroit? He was the head coach at Detroit. Didn't know what in the world he was doing. Looked like he was completely lost. Hey, he has this Philadelphia Eagles defense playing at a very high level. That is the key to Philadelphia. Yes, Wentz is doing a great job. He's not turning the ball over. He's not hurting them, and he's making positive plays. That defense could keep them in games down the stretch. That defense could make them a contender in the NFC East. And I'll be honest, I thought they might be one of the worst teams in the NFC. The Eagles could be a contender for the NFC East. Keep an eye on Philadelphia. See what he does when he faces a pretty healthy defense, and let's see if that defense can keep up what they're doing. What they did against Pittsburgh this last week, though, one of the most impressive performances I have seen in the NFL this season. One last team, a little bit behind, and like I said, it's all overanalyzed. This isn't a team that you go, I never thought of them. But the Minnesota Vikings, you want to talk about defense. Maybe the most physical defense in the NFL. No, I still don't believe in Sam Bradford. I know he's looked good in two starts, but I've seen Sam Bradford for like 5 or 6 years. So until you prove to me that you can do it week in, week out, I'm not going to believe in Sam Bradford. But that defense, allowing just 13 points a game. Here's a stat for you. The Denver Broncos defense right now has 12 sacks. Hey, we remember what they did to Cam Newton. We saw them beat up Andrew Luck. They got after Carson Palmer pretty well on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings have 15 sacks. That might be one of the most physical defenses in the league. They get after you. And you know, it's funny. Because as much as we talk about the offenses, and as you know, I'm watching the NFL on Sunday. And I was watching the Broncos and the Bengals game on Sunday. And I'm looking, and of course, you know, I've told you, I don't hide it. I don't hide my allegiance. I'm a Denver Broncos fan. But I'm watching the game, and I'm looking, and you know, they call a touch, and that's a hold, legal contact, pass interference, legal contact, touching the quarterback, looking meanly at the quarterback. I mean, they have basically tied the defense's hand behind their back and said, hey, go play defense. And that's just how the league is played now. That is just how the NFL is these days. The defense is not allowed to do anything. But you know what's interesting? When we look at the favorites, when we look at these teams that, again, maybe are a little off our radar. Yep, knew that was coming. The New England Patriots, pretty solid defense. Denver Broncos, very good defense. Carolina Panthers, excellent defense. The Seattle Seahawks, they can still be in it because of their defense. And you look at these teams, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Minnesota Vikings, what did they all have in common? They've all got a pretty good defense. As much as we have tried to limit what the defenses can do, that is still what is getting it done year in, year out in the NFL. A couple of games to keep an eye on this weekend. Got some decent games coming up this weekend. Thursday night. I know Thursday night is that garbage game that nobody wants to watch. And I'll be honest, it's garbage-ish this weekend. But the Miami Dolphins go to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, you might look at that and say, well, they're both, 1-2? And, I mean, they just keep finding ways to lose, and they're losing games that they probably should. Yes, but one of these teams is really going to put themselves behind the eight ball. One of these teams can probably still make at least a little bit of a run and try to get into a playoff spot. This is, I know, we're, 4 weeks in? This is a must-win game for one of these teams. Miami and Cincinnati, they both need a win desperately. Going to be interesting to see how that comes out. Give you a AFC South matchup might be a little bit, I don't want to say under the radar anymore. I don't even want to say it anymore. See, because that's what happens. Tennessee goes to Houston. Tennessee coming off of a rough loss to the Oakland Raiders. Houston absolutely embarrassed themselves on national TV last week on the Thursday night game to the New England Patriots. That was as bad a performance as I've seen since I guess Houston played Kansas City in the playoff game. How is that any different? Like, Brian Hoyer, Brock Osweiler, it looked the same thing. Like, they couldn't generate any points. The defense, the only difference from what I can tell that looked exactly the same is that they're paying $72 million more to Brock Osweiler. Otherwise, same thing. Exact same thing straight across the board. Seattle Seahawks go to the New York Jets. Speaking of teams that desperately need a win and desperately need a home win, the New York Jets need a win badly. And that is a defensive front that will give Russell Wilson problems if that offensive line doesn't figure some things out. I would not want to be Russell Wilson. You know, he had the bad ankle. Now he's got the bad knee. So you're telling me now he's running on no legs? That's a New York Jets defensive front that is dangerous. Buffalo Bills go to New England. I know. Should be the last game. Should be the last game that New England does not have Tom Brady. Should be. And I'll be honest, I don't have any idea who they're going to play at quarterback. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, they're saying he's got the tendon and the thumb. Could it be Jimmy Garoppolo? Could it be Julian Edelman? Could it be Tony Eason? Could it be Steve Grogan? Could it be Jim Plunkett? I don't have any idea. I just know this. The Patriots are probably still going to win. Hugh Millen? Maybe he'll have Hugh Millen start for him. I don't know. But whoever it is, they'll probably beat Buffalo. And this is exactly the kind of game Rex Ryan, every once in a while, he kind of sneaks in and steals one of these wins. Every once in a while, he does. How about the Carolina Panthers going to the Atlanta Falcons? Atlanta looked good on Monday night. Well, they looked good on offense on Monday night. They got New Orleans to, you know, commit a ton of turnovers, but that's not that hard to do with New Orleans. Atlanta looks like they've got a running game again. Maybe they give Carolina a little bit of a game. Of course, I told you, Oakland going to Baltimore. Those are two teams right there looking to see if they're really a contender, if they're just got a pretend contender. We'll see how that shapes out. The Los Angeles Rams, you know, we saw them struggling at the beginning of the season to score any points. All of a sudden, they put up 30, 40 points on Tampa, and now they go to Arizona, a team that has to be wondering, is there any way we can trade, you know, postseason Carson Palmer back for regular season Carson Palmer? Because we have the postseason model, and he's not very good. We really liked regular season guy. Regular season Carson Palmer was really good. This guy, he's awful. Kansas City goes to Pittsburgh in the Sunday night game. Pittsburgh coming off that big loss. Pittsburgh at home. Should be a very interesting game. And then the Monday night game will be the New York Giants at Minnesota. The Giants are winning some games. They're 2-1. Lost to Washington this past week. Again, it's not the offense that's impressing me about the New York Giants. I don't know if anything's impressing me that much about the New York Giants. It's their defense. Their defense is at least going to be able to keep them in games. Should be interesting to see what they can do at Minnesota and see if they can keep Eli Manning off of his back against that nasty, nasty Minnesota defense. Okay, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, we saw the loss of Jose Fernandez. Just a brutal story. And I'm really, really, I don't want to know about the details. And I'm hoping that there was nothing, you know, alcohol involved. I know that stuff's coming. But how will we remember Jose Fernandez? So many people involved in the organization down in Miami had so many good things to say about him. But it's interesting because we have had a number of athletes that are just, you know, for whatever reason, just gone too soon. We lose them. They live a short life. They live maybe, you know, that star is extremely bright while it is here. But guys that we lose way, way, way too soon. And, you know, the interesting thing about it, there's when you say that, when you even think of the Jose Fernandez, you start thinking about some of the players we lost way too soon. Some of the guys we lost. And, you know, first guys that come to mind, of course, the Len Bias, the Derek Thomas, Roberto Clemente, maybe a Hank Gathers, someone like that. But what about some of those guys we kind of forget about? Some of those guys that are, again, I hesitate to say this, a little bit off our radar. Today, we take a look at the Daily Dose top five gone too soon under the radar. Yep, play that one more time. Number five on our list. Hey, you might have forgot about these guys. A couple of these guys you might think, oh man, I don't even, you know, I totally forgot that we lost them too early. Number five on our list. Running back Ricky Bell. I don't know if you remember the hard-nosed running back that attended USC from 1973 to 1977. Ran hard between the tackles. He was a great blocker. He helped lead USC to a national championship in 1974. He actually set the single-game rushing record of 347 yards in a single game. I think that was against Washington State. Ricky Bell was drafted number one overall in 1977 by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, ahead of Pitt's Tony Dorsett. It shouldn't come as that big of a surprise. John McKay, the head coach of Tampa Bay, was a USC guy, so he kind of knew Ricky. And Ricky Bell came to Tampa, and he kind of helped Tampa become a little bit respectable. Remember, these were the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember the creamsicle jerseys and, you know, the winking pirate on their helmets? And in a team that went, you know, without a win all season. And he kind of got Tampa to become a little bit more respectable. They actually went to the NFC Championship in 1979. The problem was that Ricky Bell started losing weight. He wasn't recovering. His muscles were aching days and days after. And they started to wonder, something's going on with Ricky Bell. He's losing weight. He's sick all the time. He's not feeling quite right. He actually had a form of muscular dystrophy. And he had to retire from the NFL in 1983. By 1984, he died of heart failure. Again, not one of the names that you think about. Not one of the guys that you think about right off the bat when you say, gone too soon. But man, Ricky Bell, we lost that guy way too soon. Number four on our list, Oscar Tavares. The Phenomenon is what he was called. Tavares was an international free agent from the Dominican Republic, and he signed with the St. Louis Cardinals when he was just 16 years old. You know, he's a lefty. And he had that smooth left-handed swing. He was being compared, you know, to like Vladimir Guerrero. Just had that pretty swing. What is it about left-handers? Make things look so easy, make things look so pure. In 2014, Tavares made his Major League debut, hit a home run versus the San Francisco Giants. Went on to play 80 games that season. He hit .239 as a rookie, not horrible. And the Cardinals went to the NL Championship, and then they got knocked out by the Giants. In game two, Tavares actually hit a home run. 10 days after they were eliminated, Oscar Tavares was killed in a car accident in the Dominican Republic. Just so young. We lose these guys so young. And, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. I mean, that was just 2 years ago. We forget about these guys, though. Now, here's another name for you. Number three on our list, Ricky Berry. No, not Rick Berry. Ricky Berry. Ricky Berry was a 6'8 small forward from Lansing, Michigan. And, he could handle the ball. He could shoot it. He could pass it. Berry would end up playing his college ball at San Jose State. And he would be drafted number 18 overall by the Sacramento Kings in the 1988 NBA draft. You know, in his rookie season, as just a rookie, he was averaging 11 points, 3 rebounds, almost 2 assists. And many people were looking at Ricky Berry and saying, this guy's going to be a star. I mean, he's just figuring out how to play the game. He's going to be a star. But in the summer of 1989, had no signs of depression, had no signs of anything being wrong, got in an argument with his wife, and Ricky Berry shot himself at the age of 24. Gone way too soon. And if I bring up guys that are gone too soon, Ricky Berry coming to the top of your list? Probably not. You might not even remember him. Number two, I remember number two very, very well. I remember a guy named Joe Delaney. In 1981, you know, the Denver Broncos went to Kansas City. And I was watching the Denver Broncos. And there was this rookie running back from Northwest State in Louisiana. And he dropped a buck 50 on him that day. And then a few weeks later, Joe Delaney put up almost 200 yards on the Houston Oilers. He was named the 1981 Rookie of the Year. Now, 82, you'll remember, was the strike season. Well, maybe you won't remember. Maybe you're too young to remember. So I'm telling you, 1982 was the season of the NFL strike, so they only played like 9 games. And Delaney actually suffered an injury to his eye, so he missed most of that season. He was coming back and preparing for a huge season in 1983, and I honestly, I think he would have had a huge season in 1983. But that summer, despite not knowing how to swim, Joe Delaney saw 3 children drowning, and he jumped in and saved 2 of them. But he didn't make it out himself. Delaney drowned. Just a guy that, again, gone too soon. He ended up being inducted into the Chiefs Ring of Fame in 2004. Talented player, selfless act. But Joe Delaney, gone too soon. And he might be just a little bit, below some of those other names that you might think of ahead of him. Number one on our list. You know, I had to think about this one a little bit. A couple of months ago, we did our best players from each NFL franchise. I was joined, of course, by Mike in Castle Rock. And we talked briefly about those late 80s, early 90s Philadelphia Eagles. That was an era in Philadelphia, honestly, it should have resulted in some more postseason success than it did. But one of the determining factors in that failure was the loss of defensive tackle Jerome Brown. Brown was drafted number 9 overall in the 87 NFL draft out of the University of Miami, and he was absolutely dominant. Brown was elected to the Pro Bowl in 1990. He was elected to the Pro Bowl in 91, logged almost 30 sacks in just 5 seasons. Okay, that doesn't sound huge, but he's a defensive tackle. He's not an end. He's coming up the gut and breaking down your offensive line to get those sacks. But in June 1992, Jerome Brown was killed in a car crash. He was just 27 years old. And then you'll remember, in 1993, Reggie White left Philly for Green Bay. And the Eagles took a huge step backward. Took them quite a while to recover from those 2 losses. Now, see, we talked about this just a few weeks back. We were saying, could we come up with better 30 for 30s? Hey, ESPN, I just gave you 5 better 30 for 30s than what you give us with Jimmy the Greek, 86 Mets, and George Steinbrenner. There's 5 great 30 for 30s. I just gave them to you. Our Daily Dose, top 5 players that were gone too soon and are just a little bit off of our radar. Hey, next week on the show, you don't have to play that again. You've been playing it the whole show. You don't have to do that again. Next week on the show, again, got a full slate of college football. Got some huge games we're going to have to talk about after this week. The NFL is now rolling along, and Major League Baseball is getting to the postseason. Finally, we can watch some Major League Baseball. Plus, as usual, we will always have our Daily Dose top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to wherever it is that you download the podcast. Give us a quick rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. It helps us just get seen by a few more listeners that might not see us otherwise. We really would appreciate that. Like I said, if you have a question, got a comment, need some advice about any subject, might be anything, hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Get you some access to the articles and notice when the podcast comes up. Both of those handles on Twitter and Facebook are at Daily Dose Sports. You can find us there. That is DALY, Daily Dose Sports. Be sure to stop by rogueintel.com and check out the podcast over there. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. And have to say thank you for the past 15 years. Can you believe that? Hey, I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.